Hello, my name is Professor Smadar Rosenzweig. Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be studying Sefer Iyov, Perek Tetvav, Chapter 15. Chapter 14 was Iyov's last argument in the first cycle in the Book of Iyov. Iyov stated that man has such a short lifespan and is born from such lowly material. How can God judge man so harshly? Just life itself is a punishment. Trees have hope. If you cut them down, they might blossom and grow branches, but man dies and perishes. Nothing is left of him. His death is final. Iyov is still very pessimistic about his lot in life and his yearning for death. And we read one of the stories from Hasidic Tales of the Holocaust. Chapter 15 begins the second cycle of the dialogues in Iyov. Eliphaz HaTemani, the first friend to speak in the first set, is the first to respond to Iyov in the second round of discussions as well. In this speech, Eliphaz will rebuke Iyov by highlighting Iyov's insisting that there is no divine providence in the world. Eliphaz criticizes Iyov for speaking words against God that influence people to deny a just divine God who intervenes justly in the world. Eliphaz is upset that Iyov's words are influencing others. He's a bad influence. He's teaching people to deny God's influence in this world. And to Iyov's complaint that he was never rewarded for all the good deeds that he performed, Eliphaz says Iyov was rewarded for them in the early years of his life. He had family, a big family, money, a lot of money, success. Everyone knew about him. So there is divine justice and fair play in the world. How do we see divine providence, says Eliphaz? We see that the wicked always fall. And even during their times of success, they fear retribution from God. This is an implication of Iyov, who, as we saw in the early part of the book, brought sacrifices to atone for the sins of his sons. Iyov was always worried lest they cursed God in their hearts. These worries do not haunt the righteous, says Eliphaz. So even this act of worrying about his sons is a sign to Eliphaz that Iyov was not righteous. So Eliphaz is repeating the same ideas he proposed earlier. They are more forceful, but the ideas are similar. Eliphaz wants to show Iyov that his answers, Iyov's answers, did not impress him at all or change his mind. And now to the verses themselves. Chapter 15, verse 2. Hechacham ya'ane da'at ruach v'imale kadim bitno. Eliphaz addresses Iyov. Does a wise man answer with arrogance and fill his stomach with hot air? Eliphaz is criticizing Iyov's whole attitude and approach. Hocheach bedavar lo yiskon, umilim lo yo'il bam. You are arguing with empty expressions. Eliphaz is dismissing and belittling Iyov's intelligence and ability to present his case rationally. He's saying, Milim lo yo'il bam, your words have no toelet, yo'il, have no truth. Eliphaz, who is dismissing Eov's intelligence, is himself acting very arrogantly. And what we see in all the chapters is this personal attack that just gets louder and more strident throughout all of the chapters. Verse 6, Eliphaz says, I will let your own lips condemn you, so I won't even have to argue. Yarshi'acha ficha velo ani, usefatecha ya'anu vach. Eliphaz is ridiculing Eov and saying, I don't even have to work hard to rebut your words, because you are undermining your own position. The more you keep on talking, the worse you're sounding, the sillier your argument seems. Eliphaz continues, who do you think you are? Were you created before Adam or the hills? Do you think you're as smart as God? And we're going to see this argument used again. Verse 11, do you not appreciate God's constellations? Hame'at mimcha tanchumot el? Why are you criticizing God so fiercely? Who are you? God is trying to reach out to you. You just have to look for it. Verse 14, and who is man to be vindicated? Ma enosh ki yizke. You don't have a right to ask to be vindicated. You don't have a right to argue with God. Eve should not be arguing with God, because God will always be right and not man. We had this phrase several times. We compared it with Tehillim. There, man is majestic. Eov said man is lonely, but he yearns to argue with God, but God would not listen. Here, Eliphaz is saying that that is a false aspiration to try to speak with God and discuss, because God is always right. Verse 15, Hein bikdoshav lo ya'amin, v'shamayim zachu be'anav. God doesn't even trust his angels and holy ones, and the heavens are not pure in his eyes. Do you think God will listen to you who are a lonely man? Even the holiest and the angels don't have God's full trust. So you think that you'll be able to get God to trust you and to think that you are true and righteous? Verse 17. Achavsha shemali, ze chaziti va'asapera. Listen to me, says Eliphaz. This I have seen, ve'ze chaziti. Does that mean he knows this from earlier generations? Or is he having another vision? In the rest of the chapter, Eliphaz concludes, as he did in his earlier arguments, that the wicked always fall, and even during their times of success, they fear retribution from God. This is an implication of Eov, who brought sacrifices to atone for the sins of his sons. These worries do not haunt the righteous, says Eliphaz. The wicked are always afraid of retribution because they know they are defying God. The wicked and their offspring will reap the negative consequences. This is not such a veiled allusion to Eov's and his children's punishment and suffering. This is pretty open. So in a nutshell, Eliphaz is still proclaiming that Eov and his children must have sinned, and the punishments are just divine retribution. If this whole story of Eov lo haya velo nivra, ela mashal haya, never happened, but is to teach us a parable, as we spoke up in the first class, then Eliphaz is a fictional character who represents a classical attitude about divine justice. He's not a real person. We don't have to put him in a certain time period, because the whole book, according to this view, is just a parable. It's just to teach us a lesson. But there are some Midrashim that place Eliphaz in the time of Yaakov, our patriarch. In Genesis, Bereshit chapter 36, verse 1, Esav's lineage is presented, and Eliphaz is Esav's firstborn son. In Genesis Rabbah 70, section 13, Eliphaz was commanded by his father Esav to murder Yaakov because Yaakov received the blessings from Isaac, and Esav felt cheated. However, Eliphaz smartly takes Yaakov's possessions and leaves him destitute. He does this in order to appease both his father's command to kill Yaakov, because of the famous aphorism, a destitute person is considered as if he perished. And he also wants to save Yaakov's life. The Midrash Tanchuma Vayera says that Eliphaz grew up in the house of Yitzchak, and that's why he became a tzaddik with divine inspiration. As we mentioned earlier, Eliphaz speaks of his visions, and there's a debate if he is a prophet, which we'll see in a second. The Gemara Talmud Bavli Baba Batra 15b, Baba Batra Tet Vav Amud Bet, includes Eliphaz among the prophets for the nations other than Israel. This is an interesting approach in the Midrashim to the link between Iyov and Eliphaz to the time of the patriarchs. So to sum up, our chapter begins the second cycle of the dialogues in Iyov. Eliphaz HaTemani, the first friend to speak in the first set, is the first to respond to Iyov in the second round of discussions as well. In this speech, Eliphaz rebukes Iyov by highlighting Iyov's insistence that there is no divine providence in the world. He criticizes Iyov for speaking words against God that influence people to deny divine justice and divine intervention in the world. And to Iyov's complaint that he was never rewarded for all the good deeds that he performed, Eliphaz says Iyov was rewarded for them in the earlier years of his life when everything was great and peachy keen. So there is divine justice and fair play in the world. How do we see divine providence, says Eliphaz? We see that the wicked always fail. And even during their times of success, they fear retribution from God. They know they're doing something wrong. This is an implication of Iyov, who brought sacrifices to atone for the sins of his sons. These worries do not haunt the righteous, says Eliphaz. So therefore, Iyov, you are clearly wicked. Next time, we will learn together chapter 16. Thank you for studying together L'Iluy Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.